There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
You've seen all the news headlines. Value-added tax is coming to the UAE. But what is it? And what kind of an impact is it going to have on you and your family? Senior partner at Holborn Assets, Karen Bobka, is here to explain and to help us plan now to save later. Hello and welcome, Karen. How are you?
Good morning, Sally. I'm good.
Good to see you. Now, this is something that you've had to think about. You've just written an article in Good Magazine that gives all kinds of tips on saving now before VAT comes in. Of course, VAT is coming in from the 1st of January next year, but a lot of us are a little bit confused. What is it?
Right. Well, there's two different ways of looking at this. If you're running a business, that's one thing. You've got to do an awful lot of accounting, the system's in place. So we're not going to talk about that today. What we're talking about is how it's going to affect the individual. And in essence, for the man, woman on the street, this is a sales tax for us. Although there's a lot of accounting stuff behind the scenes, it means that prices of many things are going to be going up. There are a few exemptions and some things that are zero rated. So exemptions include things like residential property, the purchase of land if you're able to do that, local transport and certain financial services. A few things are zero rated, and that's basic education, although not all the extracurriculars, I'm afraid. Certain investments like gold and silver are also currently zero rated, but for most things we're going to be looking at a 5% increase on the price of things. That's what we're looking at. So there's going to be an extra cost. When, if you go shopping on the 1st of January compared to the 31st of December, you will find that the majority of things that you purchase are going to be 5% more expensive.
So you're not just looking at making New Year's resolutions. You're going to be having to fill up that wallet a little bit more.
Yeah, it's definitely going to have an impact on all of us. And there's no way around it. It's coming in. It is a fact. I know there was an article yesterday suggesting there might be delays, but other countries in the GCC are not quite as organised and prepared as we are here. We're slightly ahead of the curve with most of them.
Yeah, so don't expect for it to be delayed. Plan now so that you don't get caught out. But, I mean, this is something that... people often confuse with excise tax. They think that they are the same thing. And now the excise or sin tax on the naughty things that we like to consume.
Some of them.
That's actually already come into place. What's the difference?
It is. Right. Again, as far as you're concerned as an individual, it's another sales tax for you. It's accounted behind the scenes in a different way, but it really means that for cigarettes, for sugary drinks, fizzy drinks, the price of those has already gone up by 50% for the majority of us. All the tax on it has gone up by 50%. So, and I know that there has been a lot of people panicking because things disappeared off the shelf. Some things were slightly wrongly priced to start with because there was a degree of confusion when that came in. But you will see that if you're going out and you're buying your fizzy drinks, then there's going to be an increase in the price already on that. So that's step one, and that's the small things, the things that are not essential. Let's be fair, we don't all need to have cigarettes, we don't need to have fizzy drinks, but they're on there to try and discourage us. But the VAT is going to be on pretty much everything that we're buying on a day-to-day basis.
It will be on the essentials as well, but I mean, for some people, is it going to be applied when you buy a house? Is it going to apply to these type of things?
It will not. So there's not going to be a tax to be paid on residential property, so that one's going to be exempted.
Is it going to apply to rent?
No.
Okay.
It's not. So these
are some of the big ones.
The big ones, no, it's not going to be applied to that. I think we've got high enough prices for those.
School fees?
Main school fees, no. But all the extras, yes, it will be. So after school clubs, as we understand it, that will be subject to VAT, buying the uniforms, all the extra bits and pieces. And any parent will tell you that the school fees is only part of it. So the main fees that you pay to the school each year, no, nothing on that. But all the extras, yes, that's going to go up by 5%.
Karen Bobka, senior partner at Holborn Assets, is here. We are talking through VAT, trying to understand it. What is it? How is it going to impact your family? She is, of course, here to answer any of your financially related questions. Okay, let's start then. So let's go through some of these tips.
Well, there's a few things you can do now to perhaps try and save yourself a little bit of money. And the fact is, we're all going to have to pay this, but a little bit of smart planning, if you have the funds to do so, could save you a little bit going forward. So I came up with a list of items that you may want to consider now, before the end of the year. One was home improvements. If you're planning to have your kitchen refurbished or your garden refurbished, whatever it is, from 1st of January, those fees are going to be subject to VAT. However, if you get that done now, and you will have to act fairly fast because we are hurtling towards the end of the year, you could be saving 5%. So for many of these things, it's a case of doing things now rather than the usual I'll get around to it type scenario.
Because a lot of these are not exactly urgent things that are going to be at the top of our list, possibly. No. So they do require quite a bit of planning.
Yeah, the idea is to give people the chance to save the money if they, A, want to, and they're able to do so. And again, it's not just things on your house, it's any professional service. So if you're hiring anyone, whether in your business or personally, for any service, then there's going to be a 5% charge on that too.
If you can schedule it in.
Yes, so a bit of planning, sure, a bit of time management perhaps on that. Mm. And it's also going to affect things like hotel stays.
Okay.
So if you're planning a staycation somewhere, that needs to be considered. Now, I suspect that quite a lot of companies are going to offer deals, like pre-VAT prices as a bit of a trailer to get people in still. Mm. But I think in many cases, if you're able to book ahead and book on prices now, although technically you should be charged the VAT later, I suspect companies will actually swallow that. So that's worth asking. If you book and pay now, will you guarantee the price at this point in time?
Because that's a really good point. Obviously, you're going to be booking now thinking that you're going to be paying a certain price, which is pre-VAT, and your trip might not be for another 6, 8 months from now.
Exactly. But if you can get agreement that that is a fixed price, then the company's just going to have to swallow that potentially.
So plan
ahead. If you're planning a bit of a weekend break in February, it may be wise to book now and secure a price that's fixed on that.
Adele has texted in saying, in most countries, VAT is only on non-essential items. I feel like this is more of a money-generating initiative here. Well, tax is always a money-generating initiative for a good reason.
Yeah, there's an infrastructure to be paid for. You know, we're an expanding country, expanding city, and the costs of the roads, the street lighting, the police, all these services have to be paid for. And we've known this has been coming for a very, very long time, even before it was formally announced the best part of 2 years ago. It's been on the cards for I think, ever since I can remember coming here. So it was just a matter of time, and we have had a long lead-in. In many countries, most things are charged.
We are charged tax. And usually it's much higher than the rates that we're going to be charged with the VAT.
It is. I mean, 5%, I mean, it is going to make a difference to people's pockets, but compared to many other countries, this is still quite a low rate.
Exactly.
So we're starting fairly low.
So it's important to keep that in mind when you hear about tax. Okay, an interesting question. Should we buy electric cars? No, Salik. Free charging, lower loan costs, petrol cars being banned globally will resale values in 5 or 10 years be zero?
Oh, good question. I'm not really an expert on that, I have to say. Potentially, what I have said is if you are planning a car purchase again, if you can do that before the end of the year, you could be saving 5%. Now, on big ticket items, that's going to make a substantial difference, isn't it? So if you're going to buy a new car, you're buying electrical goods, you need to replace your washing machine, it may be smart to do that before the end of the year at current prices.
That you really need to sit down and really think through this, because you there might be things that you're not thinking of now that you're going to need later on. So this is going to need a pen and paper in hand. But kind of an interesting question. I don't know. There was no name on that one. But that could be one for another show, you know, with the phasing out of petrol cars. We're hearing about that in a lot of places around the world, in a lot of countries. Is it smart to keep buying petrol cars, or should we wait for an electric car?
For the time being, it's going to be a long, slow switchover, isn't it? I actually followed a Tesla car this morning on my way in. Very nice looking vehicle, I have to say.
They are now being used in Uber taxis as well.
Yes, I had a bit of car envy driving behind
that. I've been in one.
Nice.
Can I just tell you how gorgeous it is and how fast it is? It is a fabulous, fabulous thing. But, I mean, this is really something to keep in mind when we're talking about, spending for the future. And as you know, this is your area in terms of investment and thinking about that. I guess these are the things that would factor into your purchasing decision.
I think it does. I mean, it's early days here, but I think we've seen quite a sea change over the last year or so with people's perceptions and the thinking behind it. So maybe, you know, there aren't that many options right now to change, but there will be in future. And maybe there'll be tax advantages of doing that, as there are in many other countries.
5 years ago, we were not talking about electric cars.
No,
we were
not
thinking about electric cars. But now you just feel like it's everywhere. And it's really incredible to see that this change is actually happening quite quickly.
It is. And in a region that's always been very oil-centric, and for many years people were perhaps somewhat cavalier about the future. Well, you know, the future is here. The changes are starting to happen. So, yeah, it's going to affect us all.
Karen Bobka, she is senior partner at Holborn Assets. Anything to do with finances, anything to do with money today, we are talking VAT. We're going to be talking critical illness cover later on as well. Maybe you've got a story about critical illness where maybe you have fallen ill and you've had the proper cover, or maybe you haven't. How did that affect you? Lots more coming up on Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. Lots of your questions and comments coming in for Karen Bobka, senior partner at Holborn Assets. We are discussing that this morning. How is it going to affect you and your family? How should you be changing your spending habits and rethinking things, planning ahead so to make sure that you can save? Karen, one of the questions that came in just before the break was from Vivek, because you were talking about hotel stays that mm-hmm. you should be planning from now. So Vivek says, hotel room rates are exclusive of tax. So if taxes increase, you'll need to pay rates as applicable at that time. So you can only block basic room rates. Can you clarify?
I think in many cases you will be able to book and pay ahead. That can be done. That places will allow you to do that, to book and pay in advance. And that payment in advance will include the various tourist taxes, municipality tax, etc. So the whole thing could be bracketed together. And I suspect that various companies will be aware of that and look to manage their cash flow by doing that kind of thing, and to get people in, rather than people getting to the first part of next year and going, oh, it's a bit pricey, they'd rather have a slightly lower profit and have the room sold. So I suspect we'll be seeing deals or pre-VAT price deals coming out. These are things that are potentials. It's not necessarily that everyone can save on these, but these are potentials and ways that you can consider. And if you're planning a stay in January, February, perhaps you can make that agreement to pay in full in advance, and then there you go.
And then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Number three on your list of tips talks about sorting out your financial safeguarding, which is interesting because it speaks to a question we've got from Ross. He asks us, do financial services like insurance and life and health and mutual funds, are they going to be VATed?
Some will be. So your medical insurance, yes, there will be VAT to pay on that. So if you arrange your own cover and you're paying premiums monthly, it might be worth speaking to your insurance company and arranging to pay for the next year rather than just paying on the drip. So it's from January, your premium will be 5% higher if you are able to pay an annual premium and make that saving.
That's the only thing, if you're able to do
it.
It is.
A lot of it is if you're able to. Admittedly, some of us will just have to deal with it. But it's an option to consider if you have the means to actually do that. And also on that, arranging things like wills, those fees will be subject to VAT. Now, in some cases, the lawyers may just reduce their own costs to take that into consideration. We don't know yet. I've spoken to a few companies. They're still thinking about it. But potentially, there's a saving for sorting that out before the end of the year and paying rather than leaving it into next year. Things like life assurance, savings plans, no, there will not be VAT to pay on that.
Critical illness insurance?
No.
That's not included,
it's
thankfully,
not.
In there. Viveka texted back and said, buying any car right now is a good idea, as you not only save 5% on the car price, you'll also save 5% on the insurance. He's really thinking right.
Yeah, he's planning. He's planning. Again, if you've got the means to do it, and if you're going to be doing, you know, you're planning to do this in the next 6 months or so, probably better to bring those decisions forward.
Yep, do that
That's
now.
That's the thing with that. But, you know, there's other things we can do too. I mean, not every single business is going to be charging us VAT. There's a threshold. A business needs to have a turnover of 375,000 dirhams in the year. If their turnover is below that, they do not have to charge VAT. So for some things that you're purchasing, it may be beneficial to look at small businesses. People that run the Arte markets, the Right markets, there's people there, they're small part-time businesses. And if their turnovers are below those thresholds, they will not need to charge you. So you can consider supporting small businesses, albeit I suppose if there's a lot of support, it's going to push them up. But there's a starting point there.
So not only looking at small businesses, that's another one of your tips, which is kind of a good thing because you could be supporting those who are up and coming, but also to consider buying second-hand goods.
Yes, because if you're buying off an individual and not a business, they're not going to be charging you VAT on that. And we know that there's a large turnover of expats here. So there's people coming and going all the time, people selling on the electrical goods because they've only used them for a year. That's good value for money. So that's an option as well. So there's a double saving, not only the VAT, but you're getting something that's been, what do we call it, lightly used.
Lightly used.
Yes, at a better price.
It's a really good idea for the environment as well, just to
of course
buy what's already in circulation rather than buying something that is new. And a lot of people haven't used their goods for very long, as you say.
And I think people are quite switched on to doing that here because that's always been the pattern of people coming and going. And there's significant savings to be made.
Okay, so schedule in your visitors now.
Well, yes, if they're planning to come next year, just let them know that it's going to be a little more expensive. If they're going out and eating and drinking and visiting various attractions, the prices are going to be going up for them.
What else? Taking advantage of buy ahead offers.
Well, yes, bulk purchases, the boring things. Now, this is on my list to do. So the boring things that you have to purchase. So your washing powder, your pet food, the things that aren't perishable. Look around, get the bargains. If you've got the cash and the space to store these things, you can save a bit of money by buying in bulk, putting it somewhere and not having to pay 5% extra on those items.
That is a good tip. I'm just going to go home and make a list of things that I've got to buy. Yes. Now. Hit the stores for some bulk buying, which is what we've covered. Taking a fresh look at your medical insurance policy.
It could be, so if you're paying monthly and you have the means to pay annually, then there's a saving to be made there. Don't forget also that often if you pay monthly, you're being charged extra for that privilege, if you like, because it's extra work for the insurance company. So you could save that plus the VAT if you're able to pay, if you've got a certain number of months to go. Now, obviously at renewal, that's not going to be an option, but it could be right now. So the point of all this is to say there are a few things that you can do if you take a little bit of time to think about it to see where some savings can be made. The fact is we're all going to pay it. It's not going to go away. It's a fact. But a little bit of planning could be saving you a few dirhams.
It is very good planning indeed. An interesting question from Marie asking, will salaries go up in response to VAT?
Oh, what do you think, Marie?
Probably not.
No.
So make sure you're planning ahead and using the tips. I mean, it could happen, but I doubt it very much.
Well, the thing is, companies are going to be charging more, but they're not going to be making any more in the way of profit. Probably quite the opposite in terms of their cost, because what they take in VAT, they have to account and pass on. And there's more of a burden on businesses, particularly small businesses, to have to do the accounting and the VAT returns.
Because you've got to think, I mean, this Dubai, the UAE, is a growing country. We need this this income to come through for the infrastructure. It is actually crucially important for the development of the city, of the country.
It is. We have a lot available to us. We don't pay income tax, and yes, okay, we pay fees and charges on quite a few things, but we don't have direct income tax, and that is unusual in the world these days. So we have to look at the positives there and appreciate that there's a trade-off. So yes, although prices for many things may be more than in your home country, you are paying it from an income that does not have 20, 30, 40% tax taken from it. And that, I think, sometimes gets lost in the discussion.
Yeah, definitely something to keep in mind. Karen Bobka, she is senior partner at Holborn Assets. Anything to do with VAT, anything to do with getting your financials in order, she can help you with that. That's Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye. 103.8. Lots of talk on VAT this morning. It's coming in on the 1st of January 2018 here in the UAE and across the GCC. And we are hearing from Karen Bobka, Senior Partner at Holborn Assets, how to get ready for it. We are going to move on to critical illness cover in just a moment. But Karen, I just want to come back and address a couple of the questions and comments coming in from people. One from Sam asking, what about medical devices? Is there going to be VAT on them? If I want to buy a blood sugar measuring device, for example, from a pharmacy, do I still need to pay 5% on that?
I believe so. I believe that will be the case. I know that certain healthcare services are going to be zero rated, but I think devices that you purchase, I believe that there will be VAT to pay on that. So again, if you need to buy that, sooner rather than later, probably.
Vivek asks, will bank loans be subject to VAT?
No.
There you go. There's your answer.
You're paying enough interest. Avoid the loan full stop anyway, if you possibly can. That's the best advice there.
That's a whole other show, isn't it, Karen? Looking at your debts and looking at your loans. So Mark was getting quite excited about the electric cars, Tesla cars, being plugged in at sustainable city charging stations using solar power. It is a good thing, something to think about when you're investing in a new car, should you be buying an electric car. This comment from Rupert. Hello, Rupert. It frightens me to hear the enthusiasm in your voices when it comes to VAT implementation.
Oh, it's not enthusiasm. It's not enthusiasm, perhaps a touch of slight hysteria because the stress that there's going to be. The fact is, it's coming in. There's nothing we can do about it. So we there's no point being miserable and have a downer on this. We can say, it's happening. This is how it's going to affect you. This is what you can do.
Yeah.
So that's the positives about it. But no, we're not enthusiastic about it. No one's enthusiastic about paying an extra 5% on the majority of things.
Now, let's move on, Karen. A topic that none of us are enthusiastic about.
True.
This is quite stunning, really. Cancer. We've been talking about it all month here on this show, on Ion Health and others. It's one of the biggest killers in the UAE. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Stunning statistics coming out of Health Authority Abu Dhabi for 2014 showing that expat women are nearly three times more likely to be diagnosed with cancer as compared to their male counterparts.
That is a scary figure, isn't it? Now, I only found this out last week. That's why I wanted to talk about this today. Bear in mind that the population of the UAE is something like 25% women, 75% men. But of those women, the statistics are quite terrifying. And these are not just breast cancers. That's not the only one we're talking about here. There are
cancer
other
in general.
Yes, it is. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's you don't want it. It's unpleasant. But we need to be aware that these are serious things. And there are steps that you can take to help protect yourself financially. The fact is that serious illnesses could hit any of us at any time, no matter how healthy you are. This doesn't discriminate particularly by gender, age, nationality or income. We could all get a serious illness. And though there have been huge strides in treatment and medical treatment over the last 10, 20, 30 years. It comes down to detection early, getting the right treatment. We do have very good health care here. Let's be honest about that. That helps. And most of us will have, I hope, decent medical insurance in place. The law says in Dubai we have to have cover. That's a good thing, I really do think. But if something happens to you, this is still a major financial issue. Because there is limited time that you can take off work and still be paid here. If you are seriously ill and you are unable to work for a long period of time, if you are looking after children, if you have debts and liabilities, that presents a financial issue over and above the medical issue. And the last thing you want at a time when you are seriously ill and going through perhaps, you know, radiation, chemotherapy, recovering from a heart issue, is to have the additional stress of finances and how you're going to meet your rent, etc.
Because obviously it's a massive emotional blow.
It is.
That before anything else, if you hear that you have a critical illness, a life-threatening illness that needs immediate treatment. But on top of that, the medical costs can be astronomical.
They can. They really
what are we
can.
Looking at in a rough ballpark figure?
I really don't know. And it depends on what it is and how you get treated and what course of treatment you go through. And that's why it's so important to have good medical cover and not scrimp on these things. Again, with all insurances, and this is pretty much all of them, you get what you pay for. And I know of, certainly know of cases in the past where people have had quite basic medical insurance with an upper limit that isn't that high, and they have breached that fairly soon for a serious illness and then have had to pay out of their pocket. And I've got a case study to come through to talk about shortly that is you know, covers that as well. But the fact is, it's not just the emotional blow, it's the financial thing. These are linked together. And I'm sure that anyone that's been diagnosed, their first thought is the, you know, oh gosh, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? How am I going to cope on an emotional level? And then how are we going to cope as a family? And then on a financial level, that comes into it. What are you going to do?
Because obviously this is something that's very different to life insurance. It's not the same thing.
No, it isn't. Quite simply, life insurance pays out in the event of death. You don't benefit from it personally, but your family does. And it is a very important thing to have in place. And obviously there's the old saying that there's nothing guaranteed in life apart from death and taxes. Well, that ticks both boxes today, doesn't it? But serious illness cover is a more recent innovation. It's been around for quite a long time. It was initially went by the name of dread disease cover, which is frightfully dramatic.
Anyway, terrible.
The marketing people got involved and we changed that, and it was then called critical illness cover. Now, the majority of claims on such plans pay out for heart disease, stroke and cancer. That's the big three, but plans will cover an awful lot of other serious conditions as well. And the fact is that statistically we are all far more likely to have a serious illness than we are to die before the ages of 60 or 65. And that's why it's important to have a certain amount of cover. Now, you may not need the quite the same sums that you have in terms of death benefits, but to have something in place that means that if you're ill, you can don't have to worry about money is so important. Unless you've got an awful lot of money in the bank that you're happy to draw on, this matters.
It absolutely does. I mean, you're talking about, just to run through again, those conditions that are covered. We're talking heart disease, stroke and cancer. So,
and a whole lot of other things that come into as well.
So it depends on the insurance cover that you've got?
Well, most plans are broadly similar these days in what they cover. So that it's it will cover disabilities. There's a whole load of other things and major serious conditions that will come into there as well. So it's serious illnesses are what are considered. In many cases, first stage cancers are not covered because most of them with early detection are incredibly treatable. So okay, it's so that would serious
be,
ones.
That would come under your medical insurance?
Yes.
Okay, so first stage cancers would not be...
In most cases will not be covered because they're very treatable. And the more things that are covered, the more expensive a plan's going to be. But for things that are genuinely very, very serious, you get a lump sum payout. And these things go in tandem. So what we all have is medical insurance for the medical treatment. And the serious illness cover is what gives you an income and the means to live while you're being treated and perhaps reassess your life.
Okay, medical income, it's all of these things that have to be included in there.
They're different. They have different roles. These things have different roles in life. And what you need depends on your particular circumstances.
Okay, so depending whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, your age, all of these things, these are the things that we're looking
at. Yeah, your commitments, your dependents, has how much cover you actually need. If you're a single person, you may not have a need for life cover, for death benefits, but serious illness cover, that would benefit you personally. If there's no one else there to support you, to have the means to support yourself for a period of time, that's where that matters.
The problem with all of this, though, is that it's critical illness is not something we want to think about.
No, of course not.
It's just...
Nobody
it's
does.
It's something that you kind of put to the back. You hope you're one of the lucky ones that never are going to need that.
Totally. And that should be the same with most insurances. We hope they're a waste of money. But if a claim has to be made, best money you've ever spent. And statistically, we know the numbers of people that get ill. And the figures we've got for the UAE, 4,500 cases of cancer diagnosed every year in the UAE. That's 12 people a day.
What's the uptake? Do you know kind of rough figures of the percentage of people who do actually take out critical illness insurance?
Nowhere near enough. Higher with my own clients, I think, because I think it's important. And it doesn't have to be ridiculously expensive. It depends on your age and your health and whether you smoke. But this matters. So I will talk to everyone that I come across to say, this is an option. This is what's going to cost you. This is what it does. I want you to think about it.
How much would you, I know that it depends on who you are and your personal circumstances, but a rough ballpark on how much you'd need to spend every month on a critical illness?
Well, it depends on the level of cover you want and obviously your lifestyle and your outgoings, but it doesn't have to be that expensive. And now, the older you are, the more expensive it's going to be because you're more likely to be ill. And those, as we're getting older, we start realizing that we do have friends that have these illnesses. For a woman aged 30, she could have cover for the next 20 years for $200,000, that's $735,000 dirhams, lump sum payout. That could start at just 200 dirhams a month. That's not a lot.
It's an investment that is really crucial, isn't it?
I think it is. Now, as you get older, it goes up. So the woman aged 40 is going to be paying a fair bit more for the same amount of cover. If she wants to be covered for the next 20 years, to take her to age 60, say, that's going to cost her something like 340 dirhams a month.
We're going to hear some personal, real-life stories where this has happened to someone here on Dubai Today with Karen Bobka. She is senior partner at Holborn Assets. We're talking financials. We're talking VAT. We are talking critical illness cover as well. It is something that a lot of us don't think about until it might be too late. Last few moments with Karen Bobka, Senior Financial Advisor at Holborn Assets. Got a frog in my throat there. But lots of questions coming in as well for you, Karen. We're talking critical insurance here. One from Anu asking about medical coverage for pre-existing conditions. Obviously, that makes normal medical insurance a lot more expensive. So when you're looking at critical illness, that applies in the same way also.
Yes, it does, because for any life cover, for anything that's related to health, then your state of health has to be considered there. Insurance companies are businesses as well, of course. Mm. So if there's a higher risk of you making a claim, then your premiums are going to be higher, although you could potentially argue that you have even more need for that insurance.
Now, let's take a look at how this affects people in real life. We've got a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. Of how this happens to people, a case study of a working professional.
Yes, there's a couple of cases. These are all in the article that I think is going to be on the website today. Yes. And is on my own site as well. So you can read through that in your own time. But these are genuine cases where claims have been met. So there was a woman took out a policy in 2010. She had a chosen sum assured of £500,000. So quite substantial there for her. She was a working woman with a good income. In 2014, a routine medical checkup resulted in her being referred for investigations. And she was diagnosed with cancer. A claim was made and accepted, and the money was paid out for her. Now, she was only able to take an income from her employer for a limited period, because obviously statutory sick pay is quite short here, but she was able to have all the treatment that she needed, take all the time off work to recuperate, and she has done, and she is okay now, going through remission, and that money paid out for a very good reason, so she didn't have to worry about the finances and could do everything that she needed to do to get her health back.
And what happens, she's a single woman who
Yes.
Got to do that, which is vital. But when you have a family, there's a whole other set of issues that you've got to consider too.
There is. And the other case study is for a stay-at-home mum. Now, there's this weird idea in some cases that if the woman is at home and not bringing in income, that she doesn't need to be insured. Well, any woman will tell you otherwise. That is not the case. There's a whole lot of other issues come into play. And this particular case, the woman was a stay-at-home mum with three young children, and cover was taken out in 2013. 3 years later, she discovered a lump, which was confirmed as breast cancer. And the claim was made $250,000, and she was able to use that to provide additional support so they could focus on treatment and didn't have any financial worries. Some of her treatment was not covered by the insurance policy that they had. So they had the means to cover that to give her the very best chance. She was able to pay for relatives to come in to support her, to look after the family, and to have care in the home. And that shows what it does. That's why you need it. It's not the money per se, it's what the money does for you.
It really is the scope of all of the things you can do for yourself and for your family with that cover if you have it there in the first place. It's interesting because we have a comment from somebody who's texted in, no name on this one, saying, I had breast cancer from 2013 to 2014 here in Dubai, and now health insurance cover is either refused or approximately 120,000 dirhams per annum. And they're wondering, what can they do in that situation? It could be really difficult.
It is difficult, and the options are limited. The fact is that medical insurance, like other health insurances, are underwritten based on the chance of you making claims. So if an insurance company feels that you are going to be making, or there's a good chance that you would make substantial claims in the future, then your premiums will be priced accordingly. Now, companies are not supposed to decline cover here, but they will price it to kind of stop you from buying it because they don't want to take the risk on. That, unfortunately, is a fact, and it's going to be expensive. But if you have that risk, then you need to be able to pay for the cover as well.
Should you be going to see a doctor before you go and see your insurance company to figure out what you're going to do?
Well, when you fill in an application for life insurance or critical illness cover, you ask details about your medical history. Mm. And you have to fully disclose that. Not disclosing anything could invalidate the cover. So you need to be honest about that. In fact, I know of cases where we've had clients who have applied for cover. They've had to go for a medical, and that medical has shown up a serious condition that they did not know about. Now, okay, that's affected their premium substantially, but there's one particular case. The chap did not know that he was on the way to having a heart attack. He had very high blood pressure. He had constricted arteries, and a lot of this was shown up in the initial test and then the further investigations. So although he ended up paying a lot more, he also found out that he had something that was treatable, and it was treated rather than the alternative happening.
Sorry, it's a good idea to just go and do it anyway, just get that medical it sorted out.
Yeah, we should all get regular checkups for things. We should, and obviously as part of this month we've been talking about preventative issues for breast cancer, but for anything, we all should be aware of our bodies, and this will help us all in the long term. If you've got a concern, go and get it treated, because most things are highly treatable if you catch them earlier on. And if in doubt, go and see your doctor and put your mind at rest and don't worry about it. But then make sure that you are protected financially as well. Because it all matters.
It can supplement your critical illness insurance, can supplement your health insurance, and it can work together.
Exactly. They go hand in hand. They do different things.
Mm. Very important. But I mean, this is part of all of the different types of insurance. I think it's crucial to really kind of drive the point home about insurance, because it's something we forget about. Home and contents insurance, it's not urgent. It's not something that we need to do, but it really could save your life. It really could, bring you that security that you need when you need it.
Yep. Such plans and policies are developed for a need. This is not just insurance companies making money. Yes, they are businesses, but they do provide a service as well. And with many of these plans, you will find that you get with them a lot of backup support and assistance and referrals to doctors. Insurance companies have all these extra add-ons that come with policies too. It's not purely just about taking your money. There is an element of pastoral care there as well. And your broker should also be helping you with these things. But the fact is, all plans are developed for a need. And most of us are going to be sick at some point. Obviously, we're all going to die one day. You know, we may have a car accident. Our house may flood. There may be a fire. And if you have to claim, you will realize that these are probably the best money that you've ever spent. But it's about protecting yourself. It's about protecting your family.
And crucially, read all the fine print, shouldn't you?
Yes, be aware of what you're taking on. This is provided to you. We'll talk through all these things with you so you understand exclusions, you understand what you're covered for. And if you don't understand, ask the question. Always ask the question and understand what you're protecting yourself against.
Don't assume that they're just giving you all the information. It's all there. And if you're not understanding it, definitely get back and compare between different insurance providers as well.
That's my job, to do that. I will only recommend a plan for serious illness that I think is as broad as it can be and from a company that I know will meet a claim. And that's the thing. I've heard some perhaps slightly cynical comments about, oh, but they don't want to pay out. Well, they will if you meet the criteria. The insurance companies are paying out every single day. This does work. They will pay out. But have that discussion and make sure that your broker understands what they're arranging for you too.
Other questions are coming in. There are people asking about local insurance. You can research that for yourself about local insurance providers. There are some who are saying that they've changed companies and saying that they get much better service that way and a much better policy that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an independent broker, so I'm not linked to any one insurance company. So I'm in a position where I can cherry pick and pick the very best of what's available for clients and to make sure that they have the optimum cover at any point in time.
Very good. Karen Bopka, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Senior partner at Holborn Assets. We've got through a lot today.
Yes, and so there's more information regarding the serious illness on my site, which is the financialuae.com site. So you'll find a lot of facts for global and for the UAE and that you might find useful.
And we'll definitely be including it on our Dubai Today blog also. Thank you so much and looking forward to having you in again next time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.